presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Welcome on into a Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, all a part of the, shall we call it, the Primrose Hub City Radio Sports Network. Glad to be with you on this 18th day of the month of May, although today feels more like March the 18th or something like that. Cloudy, overcast, rainy, drizzly, and hopefully all of the action today gets underway without any errors in terms of cancellations or postponements, because we're getting down to the nitty-gritty in terms of the season schedule and time allotted for these events and what have you. So track and field today, some tennis action out west in Rapid City as the State A tennis tournament gets underway today. More NEC golf. We talked about that on Friday's installment of the Sports Hub. All of that and more is coming up in just a bit. Plus, Greg Murley, the head coach of the Aberdeen Central track and field squad. He'll be joining us here in about 10 to 15 minutes on the program, the head coach of the boys squad. So stay tuned for that discussion with Coach Murley. That's coming up here in about 10 to 15 minutes on the program on Fox Sports Aberdeen. It's our daily sports talk show, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Good morning, sir. How was your weekend?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Good weekend. Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing well. And Saturday was just gorgeous out there. Yesterday, kind of a different story. But we were doing our spring snack sacks here this last week, and all the farmers were like, hey, can you help us out with a little bit of rain? So about 52 hundredths of an inch of rainfall there yesterday.
Yeah, it was raining pretty good in the afternoon, and then it slowed up. I mean, I remember I was at Ken's yesterday evening doing some grocery shopping, and that's the worst when you're like, you got groceries and it's just pouring right on you. So, I mean, hey, we needed the moisture for sure. We were, like you said, we were talking to a lot of farmers like, hey, can you do something, maybe help with the rain? And I could say, hey, the forecast looks like we got a chance. So we certainly got it. Looks like we could get more of it today, but yeah, really enjoyed Saturday. Was out there at the Run from the Police 5K. Me and Rusty ran that. Went well. They had a ton of people out there, you know, supporting that. So I ran my PR 5K.
Oh.
36 minutes. So it's under, I think it was 36 minutes and 16 seconds.
Okay.
So it's just under, I think my watch said it was under 12 minutes a mile, 11:43 minute per mile pace. So I was really happy with that.
When I run a 5K or any sort of duration, I'm just trying to go without walking.
Yeah.
Was that kind of your mindset too?
Don't walk. Yeah, don't walk. I've been kind of training for a little bit of just like running in general. I got some really nice running shoes from Shoe Science on Main. Mm-hmm. And since then, like my feet, my knees, you know, my thighs, they don't really hurt as much because I'm running with decent shoes. So, you know, I felt pretty confident going in. And I got to say, like, my training runs, when I go outside, you know, you're by yourself, you're just kind of trying to do exactly that, run without stopping. Mm-hmm. But when you have an environment where people, maybe they're not so much cheering for me because, you know, yeah. but like they're cheering for, you know, family members or like their daughters.
They're
or
cheering
sons.
For everybody. Yeah.
And like seeing that, like that just gives you an extra bolt.
Yes.
During those runs. So I hit a tough stretch there. It was like that was probably like 2.3 miles in. And that last mile was pretty tough, but I came out of the section there. It was coming around the loop, and next thing you know, you see posters and stuff, and you look up, and you just get that jolt of energy. So
yeah,
it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I know Rusty enjoyed it as well. And yeah, I finished that race. I'm like, I got to find another 5K to run. Mm-hmm. It's just like you get hooked to something like that, and I can't wait to run my next one because I feel pretty good right now.
Outstanding. Love to hear that from Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Let's go ahead and get to the jump right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So did you feel that runner's high?
Oh, yeah.
That was the high around the bend.
Yeah, I had a good high in the beginning. I came out like 10-10 pace, which is pretty fast for me at this point. And then I'm like, I got to slow down a little bit here. As I got through, you get through like where all the flags are.
Mm-hmm.
You get through, you go towards Storybook Land, and then you're kind of on your own for a little bit, and you're like, hey, I just got to lock in. I think I replayed the Rocky theme song about 15 times in my headphones. But, yeah, the runner's high was certainly a thing there. It was a fun event. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're listening to the Rocky theme song and music and that sort of thing. If I were to run a 5K with my Bluetooth headphones, and it'd just be something like,
Lake Effect snow showers are coming in.
What? Listening to the weather right now? What's going on? But whatever fires you up, the Rocky for you. Huh?
Yeah, right. Well, I've mentioned it a time or two on this program. I'm a big Rocky IV fan.
Yeah.
And they got the best soundtrack of any movie, in my opinion. Although I was watching Guardians of the Galaxy 2 last night.
Okay.
That's a really good soundtrack. But Rocky IV, it's always – I have a playlist. I'm a big fan of the movie The Iron Claw.
Okay.
Which is like a wrestling movie. And the theme song of that movie is – it's actually kind of a sad movie, but it's about WWE, these three brothers. But the theme song of that movie is Rush Tom Sawyer.
Sure.
So that's like the first song on that playlist.
Was that the Zac Efron movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Really sad movie, but I really like it. And, you know, there's a training part where, like, they're all lifting and pumping iron to Tom Sawyer Rush. I thought it was total BA. I was so fired up for that. So had that going, and I felt pretty good.
Glad to have you finish that in a really good time. And, hey, we're talking with track and field coaches all the time now towards the back half of the season. And what do they all say? You want to be peaking at the right time. Cobra's peaking at the right time.
I'm peaking at the right time.
Gotta love that. Absolutely. So baseball season on the college side of things, that is coming to a close, as is for high school here as well. And I saw a wild, wild box score over the weekend, Cobra. Florida International University versus New Mexico State. Did you see this on social media by chance?
No, I did not.
So this is, I mean, why would you? I mean, because I'm a sicko. I get these, I got a weird algorithm, man. But this popped up on my feed. Florida International University defeats New Mexico State 30-21. Your final score there. Florida International commits four errors and still finds a way to win by 9. Florida International put up 11 runs in the top of the 7th, 6 more in the 8th, 6 more in the 9th. So this is a team that put up 23 of their 30 runs in the final 3 innings and comes away with a win. And big ups go to Andrew Idialfonso. 5 of 7, 5 runs scored, 9 runs batted in. Not a bad day at the office.
Yeah, it's a good way to end the game as well. I mean, my guess is Did they have to come back in that game at all? Were they trailing?
They were trailing. Yep.
Wow. So, I mean, just talk about an offensive explosion. I don't know if they were playing football or what out there on the baseball diamond. And they only do that with 4 errors. I mean, that's a good amount of errors, but it's not like you doubled that and there was 8. So
no, their defense had the 4 errors.
Oh, their defense had the 4 errors.
So, yeah, New Mexico State, the team that lost, they had 0 errors in the field.
Wow.
So this is all offense.
Wow.
Here.
Yeah, just putting the ball in play and obviously – coming up big with runners in scoring position, which is just so huge in today's game. But that's a little bit more excessive. They score 30 runs in a game. I mean, 51 combined runs in that game. That's crazy.
Must have been the wind was blowing out in Las Cruces, New Mexico or something like that. I'm not quite sure. Also saw this on social media. Speaking of wild box scores, teams were 0-640. When trailing by 8 runs or more in the NCAA softball tournament games, Texas Tech defeats Ole Miss 10-9, your final score there in extra innings. They won it in 8. and now it's 1-640. Texas Tech was down 8-0 in the bottom of the seventh inning, and they come all the way back, wow, and win at 10-9 in extras.
Well, that's just believing in yourself, believing in your team to figure out, like, hey, you got to record the final out. And now I think that's a moment, obviously, that team will always remember. You're the one in that long list of 640-something teams. So pretty special there on the softball diamond.
And finally, we talked about this a little bit off the air last week, very, very briefly on the air. But the Minnesota Wild bounced from the playoffs, and now joining them are the Minnesota Timberwolves as they fell on Saturday night, 139-109. And now, this is according to the fine folks there at PMT Stats, Minnesota now has 130 combined seasons without even a championship game appearance. They have gone to the playoffs 57 times in those seasons without making it to a finals or a championship. That's 10 straight years for the Twins, 17 straight for the Vikings. They don't consider the NFC Championship a championship, I guess. Or I guess, what was that? That was the last time they made the NFC. No, because they made the NFC Championship against Philly back in 17.
Yep.
Okay, so this is the number next to them is the year. Okay, so the Twins back in 2010, Vikings back in 17, the Wolves in 14, the Wild in 15. And it's been a long, long time coming, but Minnesota continues to be a little bit shortchanged.
Yeah, yeah, they've been there a ton, and they just haven't been able to get over the hump. They've actually had some good playoff showings, as you mentioned, the Vikings moving on to an NFC Championship game. The Minnesota Timberwolves have been really good over the last couple years, but when it comes to putting it all together for multiple playoff series or multiple games, for whatever reason, they just are unable to do so. So frustrating, to say the least, to be a Minnesota Vikings and Minnesota sports fan, because you get so close and it doesn't matter what kind of season you may have during the regular season. When playoff time arises, they just come up a little bit short. And really, when you look at it from the Timberwolves side of things, at least, because they've been the closest team over the course of the last 5 years, I really can't put much blame on them per se, because they've been injured, I feel like, a lot during these postseason runs, and they're still able to get to the second and third round of the playoffs. So I think it's impressive, but yeah, it's tough to be a Minnesota sports fan, to say the least.
Yeah, it really is. And for one reason or another, there is just some of these teams, some of these franchises, some of these cities just feels like they're cursed. And unfortunately for us in Twins territory and kind of Minnesota territory, a lot of those franchises feel cursed. And also just seeing some breaking news here that on the local side of things, the Dial-A-Move last chance meet for high school track and field, that's been moved from today to Wednesday. And the Hamlin invite with Smith, GPL, Hamlin, Sisseton, and others, that's been officially canceled for the day here today. So a little FYI from the track and field side of things. And we started the show by saying, hopefully Mother Nature doesn't cancel these events and change these things. And, well, officially two changes to the schedule for today. Upcoming next on the program, Aberdeen Central Boys track and field coach Greg Murley. He'll be joining us coming up in just a few short moments on the program. The ESD meet was held this last weekend. We'll tell you all the details about how Central did, boys and girls alike, both putting together some very solid efforts. We'll talk about that and more with Coach Murley after this. Rocking and rolling for a cold and dreary, overcast Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Once again, for those of you just joining us, the Dial-A-Move last chance meet, high school track and field, that's been moved from today to Wednesday there in Warner, and the Hamlin invite, that's been officially canceled. So a little FYI, as Mother Nature throwing a couple of monkey wrenches into the schedule for the day here today. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury, joined on the phone line by head coach Greg Murley of the Aberdeen Central Track and Field Squad. Coach, good to talk with you here on this Monday morning. How are you, sir?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure, for sure. And a very solid effort for the boys and girls alike. Obviously, you're the head coach on the boys' side of things, so that's where we're going to focus the majority of our discussion here from this last Saturday, the ESD meet, finishing in third place globally. What was kind of your takeaways from the meet there on Saturday?
Well, I thought we competed really well. I, you know, the kids, I, on both the boys and girls side, when you're doing entries, you have about 100 entries that you're putting on. We had 46 PRs or season best at that meet. So, our kids stepped up and performed really, really well. And that's pretty impressive, especially since you're running a very fast meet. It's a five-hour meet, and so a lot of your events that you have to go to are going back-to-back, or you don't have a lot of rest between them. So our kids just had a fabulous effort and competed their butts off, and it was a fun day.
Yeah, and it sounds to me that you guys feel like you're really rounding into form here as the season moves along. You want to be running your best later on in the season, and I guess this ESD invite kind of showed what you guys are really capable of.
Yeah, I always feel a little bit, I come away from Dakota Relays, which was a couple of weeks ago, feeling like we're a little bit behind everyone else. And I think sometimes because we're a little further north and we get on the track a week or two later, I think that slows our progress down. But I think this time of year, we normally can catch up and hopefully pass some of those schools from the south and that maybe have a little bit better weather in the early March. And we're kind of catching up and running our best right now.
Obligatory question about the weather, because it has been such a topic of conversation throughout the spring here. It's been kind of hot, then it's been kind of cold, then it's been very, very windy. I mean, how have you seen these student athletes continue to compete at a high level dealing with the forecast, because it's been all over the place throughout the spring here?
Yeah, I think kind of in the outside world, it seems crazy that we deal with that, but it's not something new. It's you have weather like this week, and I'm still talking to my assistant coaches like we're gonna fry at state track meet because it's gonna be hot, mm-hmm. So trying to figure that out. The kids are really adaptable. I mean, they're gonna react how, they're gonna try getting the job done, and I think our kids right now trust what we're doing and things like that. On top of that, when we really get some tough weather out there, the city's been awesome with the dome mm-hmm. facility, and it's just been really good to be able to go out there and do some of that. And we actually use a yoga person to do some of those days. Lindsay Swenson comes in and does yoga with our team and works with them to get flexibility. So on bad weather days, we just adjust. We look a week ahead out, and our practices are a little bit based on the weather. Like, we're going to work really hard this day because it's going to be nice and we can get some stuff done. It's going to be a little nasty out this day, so we're not going to do a bunch.
Looks like you guys had a lot of success there in the relays. You came in first in the 4x1 and second there in the 4x2. What do you see from those relays in particular? Do you do a lot of switching up with the guys that are running? Like Austin Ryan, is he always number one, or does he move to the third? How do you kind of move that around? Carter Lust, kind of the same thing. He was in both those relays, Carson Bork. So do you move those guys around, or is it kind of like, hey, you're our number one guy, this guy's our number two and three and so on?
Yeah, you keep kids, you kind of figure out a spot from them. For about the last month, you kind of leave them alone. Austin Ryan's going to be our starter in that 4x1 and things like that. Injury-wise, sometimes you just have to put people at the beginning or the end of it. It's not necessarily the order of how fast they are. It's who handles the baton. So oddly enough, in a 4x1, we don't work a ton with so Austin Ryan's a freshman, mm-hmm. and the only job he has is to give the baton to Carter. Carter has to take the baton and give it to someone else. So Carter has a little bit more of a job there.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes that's how it works, is how that baton can get around the track the quickest.
Yeah, so that makes sense. As Greg Murley joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, getting back to the yoga thing. So what is it, like downward dog? That's the only thing I know about yoga, is there's a downward dog pose. What are some of the other poses that maybe you've learned a thing or two about this year, Coach?
I don't participate in yoga. I just schedule it for practice. I'm not a I can't touch my toes. So I know it's just really soothing, and it's weird because some of the guys you would think like would fight that, mm-hmm. The yoga stigma a little bit. No, they actually kind of get, after we have some tough workouts and things like that, a lot of times you'll hear them say, are we going to do yoga anytime soon?
Hmm.
So, and once again, I think Lindsey Swenson does a really good job with those kids and makes it where some flexibility. You got to stay healthy, especially in high school seasons. You got to figure out how to stay flexible. Seasons are so short. If you have anything beyond just a little minor injury, it's really going to cost you your season sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the only other yoga pose I know is the warrior pose.
Okay.
That's about it. I think I know.
Is that like this?
No, it's like you got like, it's almost like you're on a surfboard.
Okay.
You're like on a surfboard. It kind of, you know, I like it because that's like only one of the two that I think I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And my downward dog isn't that great. But, you know, moving more along on some of the guys that have really had a successful season, every time I'm putting or looking at Aberdeen Central track and field on the boys' side of things, I'm seeing Kyson Fiant won this. He set a state record there in the 300-meter hurdles. Have you coached a guy quite like this? Because it seems like any given meet, he steps up and rises to the occasion.
He does. And you know, on top of that you know, he's pretty you know, he's one of those kids that there's a lot of events he could go into. You know, we could the 400 meter open four and the 300 hurdles you can't do together because they're too close to a track meet. But he would be a very competitive 400 guy. If we ran him consistently, he'd probably have our school record in that.
Hmm.
But he ran the 200. He's relay guy. His 110 hurdles are fantastic. He's a hardworking kid. He's a sprinter who came out for cross country because he thought it would help his endurance for the 300 hurdles. So, I mean, he's a kid that spends a lot of time thinking about, you know, had a goal and tried to figure out ways to reach that goal and did some things that sometimes are tough to do, you know. We have a lot of kids that aren't willing to do things that are not easy or that they love. Kyson's willing to do anything it takes to be successful.
Sounds like a good teammate.
Really cool.
Sounds like a good teammate and sounds like a guy that you'd love to coach, as we're talking with Greg Murley here on FSA. And this is kind of a dumb, simple question, but maybe it's complex to a certain degree. You can take it however you want to. What makes a good hurdler?
You know, lack of fear, I think. I think, you know, you're running at something full speed and getting your foot over it. And you're gonna fall. You're gonna bite it. I mean, it's at some point in your career, and all those guys have done that. You know, Coach Apple's just. Our hurdle crew is fantastic, both on the boys and girls side. Jim does a great job with those kids, and when you go watch him coach them, that's all he can do on that day. Don't bother talking to him if he's coaching the hurdles, because there's nothing else on his brain except that. And he's pretty intense. He gets those kids to work really hard. You know, Kyson ran a great race in the 300s this weekend. Peyton Apple had a great race this weekend too. And he's going to have a freshman or a sophomore who's going to have a chance to maybe go and do something at state for us. So, and did something last weekend. So, Kyson, there's just too many good words. He actually committed to Northern on Thursday night last week, I believe. So,
well, stand in town. Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, I was watching a hurdle race, I think, on YouTube a couple weeks ago, and I was just kind of amazed of like, hey, you're trying to get enough height to get over the hurdle, but I feel like that can maybe slow you down. So it's crazy how, like, it seems like you're obviously jumping high, but you got to have your momentum forward to kind of not slow you up. I just thought that was incredible. Am I fair to say that's kind of what you're looking for, or am I way off on that?
Yeah. The other thing, you have to have some strength to you. The higher the hurdle goes, the further back the weight goes on those things. So there's counterweights in those hurdles. So they're not hollow tubes that just flip forward. There's some weight to them. So if you hit them, it's going to slow you down. And it's going to hurt a little bit if you hit it the wrong way. So, yeah, so there is certainly some strategy about you got to get over it, but you don't want to go too high over it. So,
Hey, you learn something new every day. I'll be honest. I always thought you hit them and they just kind of flop over, but I didn't realize there's actually significant weight to them. Our guest is Greg Murley here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. You did have some guys put together some really, really solid numbers, although they didn't win the specific event. Like Carter Luss sets a new PR there in the 100 run, as well as placing third in the 200. What have you seen from a guy like him to start the season to where he's at right now? Because it looks like, as we talk about, by this time of the season, you really want to be piecing together your best efforts.
You know, he was a kid last year that we just couldn't keep 100% healthy, but, you know, hamstrings and this or that. And he's made a concerted effort over the last year to become more flexible and keep his strength up, because he's lifts pretty hard. He's a pretty strong kid. And you know, keeping those muscles flexible is a big deal with the sprinters, so you don't pull hamstrings and things like that. So, you know, wonderful day. They broke the school record in the 4x1, and Carter was on that. The guys who were on that record, John Ford went to Brown and ran Division I track. Tony Schwann is in the Aberdeen Hall of Fame, and I believe he's in the North Dakota State Hall of Fame for track and field. And then Dustin Kona was a really great athlete, and Charlie Johnson went on to be a really good college football player. So the guys that record went down were guys that were really great athletes in their day.
How long was that record standing for before these guys broke
it? You know, I think it's before me. So I think it's like 99, 2000, okay. Maybe. I think it was a year or two before I came on staff.
That's incredible. And, you know, when we're looking at the track and field side of things from you guys as well, you just have some throwers, whether it's on the girls' side of things with Taryn Hermanson and Paige Ewald and the shot puck and discus, to, you know, Jack Birch and Brenner Waldrop. You know, we don't talk a lot about the discus, but, like, what kind of goes into that? Is that something that you're really focused on the coaching side of things? Like, is it just a kid being a super strong athlete? Like, how does that all work, and how do you be successful in something like that?
You know, actually, it's levers, how you can get the length of your muscle to kind of explode. Almost all of them are explosive movements. You know, you don't see big, huge, bulky guys win those events very often. Mm. They're guys that have some quickness to them and speed across those things. You know, the culture out there that the Hermansons have created, Jill and Charles Hermanson, our throw coach, and we had Nick Olson this year was on that staff, and you know, the culture they have out there with their kids is incredible. That we have about 30 some throwers out there, and it's a family. They support each other, they like each other, they're very serious. You see them coaching each other and doing that. It's just a great culture. Every one of our programs and our sub programs have that culture, we would be fantastic. We'd have a ton of success here. To get that, it's really hard. You have to, you know, that's a big credit to Charles and Jill, what they create out there as far as kind of a home away from home and accountability and things like that. So, but you know, you're looking for power and speed out there. And Jack Birch is a real good discus thrower. He has a real good day. He's a lefty, so sometimes, there's actually, if you look at a track facility, a lot of them have two or three. We actually have four discus rings, and they're in corners of a field. They're not next to each other. They're in corners. And they're in corners because of the wind directions. So when they decide when they throw, what the best wind is for the throwers. Well, right-handed people almost always get the wind. Mm-hmm. So Jack is a little bit ahead, disadvantaged because he's a left-handed thrower. So he wants calm days, so it's an even competition. But those guys really work hard out there. You know, Brenner Waldrop has our javelin record. He didn't have a great weekend over in the javelin. He had to run from the discus to the javelin to the shot put, so he had a really busy couple hours there. So
well, it sounds like you had a busy 5 hours there on Saturday there, you know, kind of wrangling these guys and figuring out who goes where and whatnot. Maybe one or two more here with Greg Murley on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And I kind of want to take this kind of a right turn, if you will. All spring long, we've been talking with a lot of B coaches about track and field on how coaches need to kind of wrangle players to get them to be a part of the track and field squads because they need numbers. You know, double A school is a little bit bigger. You know, you've got the numbers already. Do you talk to a lot of student athletes that are on the football team or basketball team or other sports, what have you, to say, hey, how'd you like to give track and field a shot? Or is it basically all within the team, these players are already kind of talking to each other to be a part of track and field? Do you do a whole lot of reaching out? How does that work out for you?
Well, we do a lot. I know, like, there's a persona that double A has the numbers. Well, we can compete against schools that are, we're 1,100 students. We compete against schools that have 2,500 kids in them.
Mm-hmm.
Sioux Falls Lincoln has almost 300 kids on their track team.
Wow.
So, like, we need our best athletes in order to compete. And for the most part, we get our best athletes out. I do talk a lot to the basketball players and obviously the football players and who I can talk to. I just think it makes you a better athlete. I think I'm a big proponent of team sports, but I think at some point it's really good encouraging and have some courage about standing on a line next to someone else and say, if things don't go right for me here, it's only my fault. And I think there's a lot to be said about that, just in character building and things like that, about how you learn how to compete on your own. And then when you come back to your team, it seems like you're a better teammate. But if you look at the kids, some of the best athletes we've ever had, they tend to draw to be multiple sports. Competitors want to compete all the time. So we get those kids for the most part.
Yeah, it's like mano a mano, right, Coach? Like, it's you versus the other person or you versus the other person next to you in the lane. And, you know, I feel like nowadays, and, you know, you mentioned the competition, like that's what I think coaches, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, are looking for, whether it is in practice and meets like this, like, hey, you versus the other guy or you versus the other gal, like it just can raise your game to that next level. And you talk about the character building part of it. What kind of characteristics do you think that builds, you know, whether it's individually or as in a team sport?
Well, I just think that you have to, you know, life is a lot of times, most jobs, you have a team of people that are working together. But, you know, you kind of need to have your own personal responsibility for things. It's too easy in football or basketball or other sports to, you know, some other sports that to say, well, that guy missed his assignment, that's why it screwed me up. Well, can't really do that in track. It's we pretty much when things go south, when we drop a baton, when we don't throw very well, when we don't come out of the blocks right, it's your fault. I mean, that's if we're doing our job as coaches and teaching the right way and you don't execute, it's your fault. And sometimes it's okay to say, something's my fault, I'm going to be better at next time, and makes you better. So that's kind of what we hope to accomplish with the character stuff.
Well, job well done there at the ESD. State upcoming next. Get those guys back in that dome. Team MVP, Lindsay Swenson. Good to hear that. She's doing a great job with the squad there for some yoga, and appreciate you being a part of the program here, Coach, and good luck going forward. We thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's our pleasure. As Greg Murley joins us on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and I'm partially joking, but I'm kind of serious there. You know, I'd be curious to figure out how many of these teams across the state have like a designated yoga coach. Probably not. I mean, it's not designated per se, but
No. It's
kind of sort of designated, if that makes sense.
Well, I think, you know, obviously coaches, assistant coaches are going to emphasize stretching, but to your point, how many guys are doing yoga? How many, like a designated yoga once a week? I think that's just so beneficial. You could be like, hey, touch your toes and hold it for 10 seconds and stretch and work at that. But yoga, you know, as somebody who's only done it once or twice, you know, it humbles you.
Sure.
That's certainly, like, you walk into something like that, you think, hey, this is going to be easy. It's not easy at all. So I think it really helps with your flexibility. Those little acute type injuries that you might get, those can go away, whether it's like a little back spasm. You know, I feel like with the hurdlers, like groin pain is something that these guys go through. Like mm-hmm. you got to make sure that's ready to go, because one little misstep there can kind of ruin your whole race. So I think the yoga thing is an excellent thing for those athletes, especially, you know, you teach them young how important that is. It can just continue to benefit you, not just into your sports season and or if you continue to play, but just like later in life. Like I think, you know, when you're dealing with more stuff, whether when you get out of the sports thing, like you can always go back to, hey, look what I learned back when I did yoga. So I think it's a phenomenal thing for these athletes.
Think of how far we have come. And again, thanks for head coach for Greg Murley for joining us here. Think of how far we've come from like the 50s or 60s to now in terms of sports science and recovery and preparing for events, seasons, what have you. Back in the day, it's just like, coach, my groin hurts. Ah, rub some dirt on it. Get back out there. Tape it up. You'll
ice
be fine.
It up. You'll be good.
You know, today, now it's like, no, we're going to shut you down for a little bit. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. There's just so much that has come from then to now in terms of sports science and technology.
100%. And all the athletes talk about how important recovery is nowadays, whether it's sleep, stretching, hydrating yourself. Like that is, you know, I don't want to say it's overhyped, but a lot of people talk about how important that is now. Like back, I'm talking 10 years ago. Like, I remember if I would be, I'd get hurt, rub some Icy Hot on it, and get back out there.
Call it a day, yeah.
I mean, I wasn't really too focused on it. I probably wish I was back then playing. But to your point, not even just the 50s, 60s, and 70s, but I'm talking like 10 years, I think it's just continue that recovery, especially in track and field when you're dealing with a lot of acute injuries. Like you got to be on top of that stuff. And the one recovery tactic that people really are talking about now is just sleep. You got to be able to get some good rest, because if you're up till 2 a.m. and have a track meet at whatever time, like you're not going to be feeling great.
100%. Put the phone down, stop with the TikTok, and catch some Z's. Coming up next around these parts, a loaded weekend in terms of golf action as well. Aberdeen Central, they would partake in the Mitchell Invite. We'll tell you how they did there. Brown County Speedway with some racing there to boot. We'll talk about that and much more coming up on the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Monday installment of the Sports Hub marches on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And the boys and girls again for Aberdeen Central this last weekend at the ESD meet, finishing collectively in third place. Maya Arampatsis winning the 100-meter hurdles. Taryn Hermanson winning the shot put. And on the guys' side of things, Kyson Fiant winning that 300-meter hurdles and setting that state record with a time of 37.81 seconds. And the team of Austin Ryan, Carter Lust, Carson Borg, and Caden Forend winning the 4x100 relay, setting that school record there dating back to, like Coach said, probably around the 1999 or turn of the century, essentially. So good stuff there for the Aberdeen Central Golden Eagles on the track and field side of things there. Also of note, chalk up another dub for the Aberdeen Central Girls Golf Squad on Friday in Mitchell. Golden Eagles would defeat the host squad by 10 strokes en route to the Friday win, and they would also have the top two finishers there as well. How about Emma Dorr finishing in first place, carding an even par 72, and her teammate, the defending state AA medalist from a year ago, Olivia Braun. She would place second, carding a 1/73. Vanessa Smith of Brandon Valley, Aaron Hurd of O'Gorman, Gabby Olson of Watertown also tied for that spot there as well. Kylie Weyerbaugh, not to be that far outdone and not that far off. She was only 2 strokes off of first place as well. For the team scores and leaderboard, check out our website, hubcityradio.com. But we talk about it all the time with Aberdeen Central. We talk about how good Olivia Braun is, and she is. But it's not just her. I mean, you've got Weyerbaugh and Emma Dorr there as well. So congratulations to the whole team.
Yep, and they were back in the lineup there. Dorr and Weyerbaugh, they weren't in that, I believe, was it the Yankton invite last week?
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, so they were back in the lineup, and you can just kind of see what impact they do have, especially on the team score side of things, because they won that thing by 10 strokes, but a very competitive leaderboard. I mean, even Chloe Vikander, who finished in 12th, she was 6 over, only mm-hmm. 6 off the lead. So it goes to show how deep this field is in girls golf right now. I mean, you look at I think Gabby Olson's playing better for Watertown. You know, Gorman's got multiple golfers that can finish in the top five and win these tournaments. And obviously you got Braun and what she does. So when Aberdeen Central is fully healthy and they're fully out there, they're going to be a tough team to beat. But it just goes to show how deep this field is. I think it's just going to continue to get better. Maybe earlier on in the season, you're trying to find out your swing and what works, what doesn't. But now when you've had multiple meets under your belt, you get comfortable about what you're trying to do. And that's why I think you're going to see a really fun finish to the end of this thing for Aberdeen Central and others in AA girls golf.
About 2 weeks to go for the remainder of the season for the ladies there. They're back in action tomorrow at the Watertown Invitational. And for what it's worth, the state tournament is also in Watertown this year on June the 1st and 2nd. So that's a Monday and Tuesday. So essentially 2 weeks from tomorrow, things kind of get underway for their final day of the state tournament. So this could be a really nice tune-up for them to get ready.
Yeah, like not a practice round, but a practice round. Mm-hmm. And obviously you're trying to win this meet here on, was it tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And then you go back out there. And a lot of these gals, they play Watertown all the time. I mean, that's a really – I think it's a – what's a cattail?
Cattail crossing.
Like, you're playing to that course a ton. These golfers are doing it, so they're already pretty familiar with it. That'll be a lot of fun, though, tomorrow. Hopefully the weather kind of shakes up nice. It's going to be pretty calm, or it looks a little bit better there for tomorrow than it is today. But I'd like to see that, you know, good conditions, like, for that state, like, great conditions. I feel like you could see – a really fun leaderboard with that thing in the state. I'm looking forward to that. We'll be following that closely for sure.
We will be dialed in 100%. We're going to wrap up this Monday installment of the Sports Hub coming up next with Brown County Speedway results and more so on the local and national side of things alike. We'll take a look at some postponements and cancellations for today. And the Twins, they avoid the sweep yesterday against the Crew. Final segment for your Monday installment of the Sports Hub on FSA. About 2.5 minutes to go before we call it a day. And then we jump on our other respective stations. Little FYI, couple of updated weather deals for matchups and whatnot for today. This is as far as I could gather in the last break. Again, the Dial-A-Move track and field event, that's been postponed Wednesday. The Hamlin Invite High School track and field has been canceled. And Redfield against Groton High School softball today, that's been postponed to Wednesday. As of right now, everything that I've seen on social media, the NEC girls golf meet in Groton, that's still a go. So unless I get word elsewhere that that's been postponed or nixed or moved, that's still a go as of right now. High school track and field from the weekend, again, we talked about that earlier with Aberdeen Central at the ESD. From Brown County Speedway, race night there, a lot of the usual suspects as Chad Becker took the checkered flag in the Wasota late models. You had Mike Stearns take the checkered flag in the Wasota modifieds, and I think Trevor Nelson may never lose again. Has he ever lost the Superstock? I mean,
since we've been on?
I mean, it just feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, the guy's always, it seems like, in first place of the Superstock. Doesn't matter where he starts.
I was going to say
he finishes in first.
Yeah, he could start in row 199, even though there's not that many people out there. He'll finish in first place. He won the Wasota Superstocks. Brock Stout of Winter, he would finish in first in the Street Stocks. Nick Perry of Huron, the checkered flag winner in the Wasota Midwest Mods, and in the Legends category, Ryan Erdahl of Jamestown started in second. He finished in first place. Check out our website for more details there. High school softball, you had Milbank sweep Sisseton 17-2 and 19-5 over the weekend there. And again, that dual squad, they continue to stay hot. They would partake in a triangular. They would broom Coleman Egan and Arlington. So if you look at that on the GoBound website, duel against Arlington, they're both the exact same logo. Arlington's just a little bit bigger. It's a little bit more blown up, the Cardinal. So you're like, your guess is as good as mine. That's how you figure it out. Duel's a little bit smaller. Arlington's a lot bigger. But duel defeats Arlington 2-0 in that one.
Yeah, and duel, I mean, we can't say enough about how good this softball team is. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about peaking at the right time. When we talked to Coach Hagberg a couple weeks ago, she feels very confident about this team. They beat Castlewood earlier this year. Watch out for this team. And Aubrey Lanners is somebody that's a force to be reckoned with on the mound and at the plate for Dole.
In the circle.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Her stats are just insanity.
That's one of those terminology pieces I learned about softball.
The circle.
Yeah, there's no mound in softball now. You're in the circle.
Okay.
So the more you know on that one, I guess you could say. All right, we got about a minute left in the show. You want to throw something my way to kind of even things up?
Well, the Minnesota Twins, I mean, Royce Lewis had a rough weekend. When's the time for him to kind of, whether it's staying healthy or being consistent, because he had a crucial error on Saturday. He had another interference call at third on Friday. I mean, when is this guy really going to come into form? I'm struggling with him right now.
He's uber talented. When he's healthy, he's one of the best. When he's not, he's on the bench. But yeah, to your point, he's one of those guys that when he is, it's kind of like Byron Buxton. When Buxton is healthy and he's not in the massive slump that which we have seen in years past, not so much this year to start the year, but man, he is uber talented. Like, he has all of the tangibles. Just got to put it together consistently. Feels like that's kind of the key in baseball, isn't it? Consistency. We're back at it tomorrow. At least we're consistent with that.